In his State of the Union address Tuesday, President Obama addressed a prejudicial rift that's been dividing the United States.
When politicians insult Muslims, whether abroad or our fellow citizens, when a mosque is vandalized or a kid is called names, that doesn't make us safer. That's not telling it like it is. It's just wrong. It diminishes us in the eyes of the world. It makes it harder to achieve our goals. It betrays who we are as a country.
Anti-Muslim sentiment around the U.S. is on the rise. The uptick started right after the attacks in Paris in November. Then came the December shootings in San Bernardino and Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's call for a ban on Muslim entry into the country. Now, American Muslims are at risk all over the country. According to CARE, a Muslim civil rights group, there were 75 attacks on mosques reported in the U.S. last year. That's the highest on record. Here in the Bay Area, in the last month alone, a Castro Valley woman verbally attacked and threw coffee on Muslim picnickers at Lake Chabot. Police arrested a man who threatened a Richmond mosque with a pipe bomb. And on the day after Christmas, a mosque was firebombed in Tracy. To find out more about the surge in Islamophobia and how it's affecting Bay Area Muslims, I headed to Santa Clara to meet up with Zahra Billu. She's the executive director of the Bay Area chapter of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They're a Muslim civil rights group that fields calls from people who've been harassed because of their faith and then provides legal aid. It's Friday morning, and I find Billu working in a coffee shop. Not her office. I'll let her tell you why.
We're in a coffee shop working remotely because our offices were evacuated following a suspicious package, and we are cooperating with law enforcement, giving them all the space they need to thoroughly investigate.
The package contained a white powder. Police, FBI, firefighters, and a hazardous materials team shut down the CARE office to investigate. Three CARE workers were sent to the hospital for medical investigation and released later that night. A week earlier, CARE's Washington, D.C. headquarters also received a suspicious package. The powder sent to CARE turned out to be benign in both cases, but Billu says it's been a difficult time recently for Muslims.
We've seen an unprecedented number of complaints to the CARE offices across the country. Everything from people being yelled at in parking lots or being bullied at school to violent attacks on people like the one at Lake Chabot.
There are about 250,000 Muslims living in the Bay Area, mostly in the South Bay, where the CARE offices are, and in the East Bay. In San Francisco, the Tenderloin neighborhood has a sizable Arab Muslim population, which is why when Asya Abdurrahman was recently verbally attacked there, she was surprised. She and her mom and two children were walking in the Tenderloin in the afternoon when she says a man walked by and shouted at them, "No more Muslims."
I was just really taken aback that this could happen in San Francisco, in an area where you think people are more accepting because it's so diverse.
Asya Abdurrahman and her mother both wear the Islamic headscarf, the hijab. But she says things are different now.
You know, there are a lot of people who wear headscarves in the Tenderloin. It isn't uncommon. So it's a normal thing. But now it's as if, you know, people are staring at you more accusatory, as if you've committed a crime.
Muslim women are especially at risk in times of increased Islamophobia because they're visually identifiable as Muslims because of the hijab.
Almost like we would talk of white privilege, I have this non-wearing hijab privilege.
That's Muaz Inam, a theology student at Zaytuna College in Berkeley. His wife wears a headscarf, and he says he sees Islamophobia mostly through her experiences on the street, not his. Once they witnessed a Sikh man in a turban trying to cross the street. A driver was blocking him and wouldn't move. Inam's wife told him that happens to her all the time.
So I feel like there's a lot of things that I take for granted as a man that's not necessarily recognized, right, as a Muslim.
Since the attacks in Paris, conversations about Muslim women and public safety have ramped up at mosques and Islamic centers and online. After the San Bernardino attacks, the popular website MuslimGirl.net issued a 7-page Muslim women safety guide. Among the tips, be aware of your surroundings, try not to travel alone at night, and if you feel at high risk, you may decide to temporarily take off your scarf for safety reasons.
I was like, oh my God, this is too much. Maybe I should just take it off.
San Francisco high school student Nora Abdelal wears a headscarf. The 17-year-old says she's getting longer stares and glares in public spaces, like the library.
And then I think, well, I thought this is a country where you could practice your religion for free, but I really feel like I can't practice my religion for free if every time I go outside, people are just going to, like, treat me differently, especially in neighborhoods like the Mission where a lot of new people are moving in, and I walk and people stare at me.
The new people.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I was born here.
Other tips from the safety guide? Muslim women who don't want to totally take the hijab off can keep a baseball cap or a beanie handy to wear so as not to draw attention by, quote, looking Muslim. Asya Abdurrahman, the woman who was yelled at in the Tenderloin, takes issue with that.
I'm not going to change who I am and how I am. That's allowing whoever is trying to intimidate me to control me. And I'm not going to take it off because I'm afraid. Actually, you know, I'm kind of a stubborn person, so I'm going to wear it more.
And women who are not Muslim have worn scarves in solidarity and support of their Muslim counterparts. A professor at a Christian college in Illinois was put on leave last month after she donned a scarf at work. The university administration is holding a hearing later this month on her possible termination. Back in the Santa Clara coffee shop, CARE executive director Zahra Bilu works at her laptop, snacking on a batch of cookies she made this morning. She says she's not discouraged. Her message to Muslim women is to try not to be out alone, but also
to be aware of the fact that I think a lot of people are expressing support of Muslims and Muslim women these days. Be cautious and optimistic.
Bilu and the CARE team were cleared to move back into their offices in Santa Clara 3 days after the FBI shut them down. They went right back to work, following up on other anti-Muslim incidents, like a Molotov cocktail that exploded outside a Tracy mosque on December 26th. The FBI is offering $2,500 to anyone who has information benefiting the investigation. CARE has also issued a Muslim parent's guide to talking to your kids about violent extremism. Check it out at kalw.org. Click Cross Currents.